seize the Chinese space station? The foreign minister looked startled at the thought. Not them, the others. And turn the entire Third World totally against us, countered Moloch. We can't have that, the foreign minister agreed. Why not? Titov demanded. Who's to stop us? The premier smiled wanly at the old soldier. Grigory Grigorovich, I know that we have the military power to conquer any nation on Earth, but after we conquer, we must rule. It would put too much of a strain on us to try to rule a hostile world. Not only is that contrary to Marxist-Leninist principles, it is simply not practicable. Remember the troubles we used to have with Poland and the rest of Eastern Europe? Titov glowered at the premier. Yes, and I remember that it was our tanks and our inflexible will that brought them into line. The premier's smile remained fixed on his face. But it was our economic and political policies that finally ended the troubles and brought them under control once again. The foreign minister quickly agreed. Not even the Red Army can be everywhere at once. If all the nations of Latin America, Africa, and Asia turn against us, think what an opportunity for the Chinese. We should have crushed them years ago, Titov grumbled. And of course the Red Army can't take on the rest of the world, now that you've cut it back to a shadow of its former strength. Grigory Grigorovich, my dear friend and comrade in arms, said the premier soothingly, we live in a new era. The old days when you commanded those squadrons of tanks and I directed the Strategic Rocket Corps were glorious days. It was the strength of our arms that brought the capitalists to their knees. We all recognize that. But now that we have no serious rivals for leadership, now that we can work to bring Marxism to every corner of the world, we must not frighten the smaller nations into resisting us. Our policy is to win them with sugar rather than force them to swallow vinegar. And above all, do nothing to antagonize the damned Chinese, Titov mumbled. We will win them over in time, said the premier. We should bomb them out of existence. That's what we should do. And their retaliatory stroke? That's what our satellite defense system is for, isn't it? It cowed the Americans, didn't it? The Chinese are not as easily cowed, the premier answered gently. They are not as afraid of nuclear devastation as the Yankee capitalists. They would fire their missiles at us, the foreign minister added, even with all our lasers up in the satellites, if you would get through. Would you be willing to see Moscow go up in smoke? Or Leningrad? Yes, Titov snapped. If it would eliminate the damn chinks once and for all, it would be a price well worth paying. From the far end of the table, the gaunt, hollow-cheeked, dark-eyed man, who was in charge of state security, spoke up, his voice surprisingly deep and powerful. Even if you destroyed China and conquered all the other nations, Grigory Grigorovich, as I'm sure you could, we would then have to control them, administer them. End of side six. To continue, change side selector switch and turn the cassette over. Side seven, Privateers by Ben Bova. Continuing on page 300. The old marshal scarcely hid the contempt he felt. Are you saying that the KGB could not keep them in line once the Red Army had shown them who's boss? The taunt did not ruffle the Minister of State Security. Not visibly, at least. I am saying that it is better to have these nations cooperating with us, even though their cooperation is far from perfect, than to force them into submission. We are not going to use a bludgeon, the premier said firmly, when a scalpel is called for. Marshal Titov made a sour face, but did not reply. The others shifted in their chairs. Then just what steps should we take to stop these pirates? The transportation minister asked. He was looking at the premier as he spoke, but his words were aimed at Moloch. The minister of economic planning spoke up. The losses are becoming somewhat serious. Almost 10% of the ores shipped from the moon over the past 6 weeks have been stolen, and the rate of loss is increasing. Why can't you stop them? Transportation demanded. Aren't the freighters under radar surveillance? Can't you see the pirates when they attack one of our spacecraft? Moloch said, It isn't that simple. Yes, each freighter is under constant radar surveillance from the moment it leaves the moon until it arrives at Kosmograd or one of the other stations, but the pirates are using very sophisticated electronic systems to trick our radars. We are fighting a battle of electronics. If I were you, the KGB chief said, hunching forward in his chair and locking his long-fingered hands together, I would put troops in a few of the ore carriers. When the pirates went to raid it, the troops would be able to deal with them quite swiftly. Yes, but which freighters? Moloch asked. There are some 24 in transit on any given day. Which ones will the pirates attack? Should we arm all of them? We simply don't have that many trained men available at Luna Grot. We would need more manpower. That can be done if it is necessary, the Premier said. But what if we capture one band of the thieves, Moloch countered, and the others simply hang back, waiting until we stop putting troops aboard the freighters? Then we go right back to where we started. With one band of pirates removed, Titov muttered. It would be better, Moloch said, to get the ringleaders. When exterminating weeds, it is necessary to kill the roots. You know who the ringleaders are, the Premier asked. The instigator of these outrages is the American capitalist Daniel Randolph. Then kill him, said the KGB chief. Moloch shook his head. And create a martyr? The transportation minister snickered. Comrade Moloch tried a campaign of terror against the American, but it frightened his fiancée too much. That is not true, Moloch snapped, feeling his face redden. My personal life has not and never will interfere with my duties. He took a breath, and turning to face the Premier, said more calmly, We initiated a program of selected violence to isolate and intimidate the American. It was my decision not to assassinate him, since doing so would disrupt the Venezuelan space industry operation in an unpredictable way and antagonize Venezuela and the other Third World nations. I am aware of your decision, Vasily Maximovich, said the Premier. I agreed with it at the time. We wanted to bring the Yankee capitalist to heel, not kill him. We wanted to bend him to our will. But the results have not been satisfactory, the transportation minister said. Moloch told himself that this conference room was too small to contain both of them. Sooner or later, either he would do in the Minister of Transportation or he would be done in himself. But he kept his rage under tight control, looked past his rival, and addressed the Premier. Comrade Chairman, the Minister of Transportation is misinterpreting the facts. When I tried violence against Randolph, his capitalist friends rallied around him. His Japanese associates sent a team of bodyguards. His friends elsewhere in the world not only refused to abandon him, they actually began their piratical raids at that time. Clearly, the campaign of terror was counterproductive. So what do you propose to do, Vasily Maximovich? The Premier asked. The idea of putting troops aboard the freighters is basically sound, Moloch said. But instead of arming all of them, I propose to arm only one.
One?
Nodding, Moloch said. One will be sufficient if we obtain the necessary intelligence to reveal which freighter Randolph will attack next.
Ah,
the Premier smiled. A Trojan horse. You grasp the situation immediately, Moloch praised, stopping himself at the very last instant from saying, as quickly as ever. It would not be wise to remind the Premier of his recent stroke.
So, you catch one band of pirates, the foreign minister said. How does that differ from what was suggested earlier?
In two ways, comrade minister, answered Moloch. First, we have no need of greatly increased manpower. We arm one freighter only. Second, at the same time we are eliminating the pirates, we take command of the space station from which they came and arrest their ringleader, the American, Randolph. We bring him to Moscow for a trial before the world court and with full world coverage on television. Then we hang him in accordance with international law. That will stop the others.
Do you believe so? Asked the Premier.
I am certain of it. The others around the table nodded their agreement. All except the Minister of Transportation.
It sounds very good, he said, cold disdain in his voice. But how do you learn exactly which freighter should be your Trojan horse?
For that, Moloch said, I will need an informer. And I believe I already have one.
An informer? Is he reliable?
The most reliable kind of informer, Moloch retorted, smiling at his rival. She doesn't even know that she will be informing on the Yankee capitalist. Chapter 31 Rafael Hernandez sat gloomily at the head of the long, polished dining table, carefully watching his daughter. Lucita sat at her father's right, the master.